Good afternoon again. This afternoon we're going to be spending some time in the book of 2 Chronicles. You can be turning to chapter 14 if you'd like to follow along as we go through the lesson. We're going to look at some events in the life of King Asa of Judah and at some of his successes and at some of his failures. King Asa, if you don't recall, was the great-grandson of Solomon. His father was Abijah, who only reigned for 3 years. We read about him in 1 Kings 15:3, which says, "And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." Asa's grandfather was Rehoboam, who's also spoken of in this verse. Recall that Rehoboam was responsible for the splitting of the kingdom into the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and the southern tribes under the name of Judah. The ancestors of Asa made a great many mistakes. As we start looking at the life of Asa, however, we see a man who from the start appears to be very successful. He also demonstrates a loyalty to God that his father did not show. Let's read together to introduce ourselves to King Asa, beginning in first six verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Here we read, "Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days the land had rest for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and the high places, and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherim, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandment. He also took out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him. He built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace." By all accounts, Asa is very successful in his first 10 years as king. Physically, there was peace, and most importantly, he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. For the sake of time, we're not going to read everything that happens here in chapter 14, but it's a great account. In verse 9, the Ethiopians come up against Judah with over 1 million men and many chariots, greatly outnumbering them. Asa demonstrates the great faith that he has in God in verse 11. "And Asa cried to the Lord his God, 'O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you.' So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." We see here in verse 12 that the Lord responds. There are a lot of lessons that we can learn from Asa and apply to our spiritual walks today, like here, this great trust that he had in his Lord and his reliance upon him. But our focus this afternoon is going to be specifically on a pair of prophets who speak to Asa during his life. After years of being a successful, God-fearing king, God calls a prophet named Azariah. As we move into 2 Chronicles 15, we find the first words that are spoken to Asa that we're going to examine this afternoon. "The Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, and while you are with him, if you seek him, he will be found by you. For if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel was without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. In those times there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. They were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. But you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Here we see the prophet Azariah speaking God's truth. In this case, God's truth happens to be an encouraging message. You see, speaking for God does not always mean being negative and critical. It can simply be building up, because God knows sometimes, many times, that is what we need to hear. We should never be shy about speaking encouraging things, about desiring a healthy dose of encouraging and uplifting messages, whether in our classes or from our pulpit. A healthy dose of encouragement is what we find in God's Word, and though certainly balanced with warnings and challenges, should not be dismissed as soft and fluffy speech, but appreciated as spiritual upbuilding. King Asa responds to this uplifting message by being encouraged and by being emboldened. Let's read how he responds, moving into verse 8. As soon as Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah the son of Oded, he took courage and put away the detestable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities that he had taken in the hill country of Ephraim, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the vestibule of the house of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who were residing with them, for great numbers had deserted to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They were gathered at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. They sacrificed to the Lord on that day from the spoil that they had brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul, but that whoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They swore an oath to the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with horns, and all Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and had sought him with their whole desire, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Even Maacah, his mother, King Asa removed from being queen mother because she had made a detestable image for Asherah. Asa cut down her image, crushed it, and burned it at the brook Kidron. Then skipping to 19, and there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. What a great response that we see from Asa, events that transpire after these words of Azariah. So as we think about this, let's look at some things about Azariah's words that he spoke, and let's look at some things about Asa's response. The first thing that we see is Azariah's words inspire courage. Azariah inspires Asa to be brave, and he motivates him to action. His message is extremely simple. He reminds Asa that as long as he is with God, he will never be alone. In verse 2, Moses inspired the Israelites before he died with similar words. Deuteronomy 31:6, he said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Isn't that a comforting thought? Being alone is one of the worst feelings that a human can experience. God has made us to desire a relationship, and no matter what happens with our physical relationships, we can have peace knowing that our relationship with God is always there, always available to us. All we have to do is seek him, and we will find him. Azariah also reassured Asa that he will receive a reward for his work in verse 6, saying, "For your work shall be rewarded." The things that Asa was doing, standing up for God and his nation, and the things he needed to go on to do would be rewarded. It would be worth it. It would not be in vain. We are assured of the same things today in our spiritual walk. Just a couple of examples in Colossians 3, beginning 23 and 24. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Sometimes we need reminded of this simple fact. God's written word reminds us over and over that there is a reward awaiting us. Can you and I tell other people what Azariah told Asa? When Azariah spoke, Asa knew that he was speaking as an oracle of God. Today, we're told that the oracles of God have written things down for us in the Bible, and that we can pass that message on, speaking ourselves as oracles. We can remind one another of scriptures to encourage one another. We can send a note or a card to a brother or sister or a friend or a neighbor. We can echo the simple reminder that if we do good, we are not alone and that we will be rewarded. That message isn't hard to present to others. Notice next that Asa was doing good things before Azariah came along. He was the king of Judah. He had been king for 10 years. He was doing things that his father, grandfather, and great-grandfather had not done. He, from all accounts, had it all together spiritually. People would not wonder if Asa was lukewarm. They would not spend time worrying about his spiritual health. They would be looking to him as an example, both as the leader of their nation and as their spiritual trailblazer. Yet still, Azariah speaks words of encouragement to him. Azariah, and likely God speaking through him, knows that just because a person seems to have it together spiritually does not mean that they do not need encouragement. Everyone needs encouragement. There are a couple of reasons why this encouragement is so important. First, just because Asa was spiritually successful does not mean that he was perfect. Even a person that is very successful spiritually has more to offer. Continued growth is critical. No matter how successful we have been in the past, we must press on. Our leaders sometimes need encouragement. It may seem like they are making good decisions and have it together, but never underestimate the power of encouragement. Elders and deacons need encouragement. Preachers need reminded of the things that Azariah reminded Asa of. Bible class teachers need reminded. Those that are our best encouragers need encouragement. It's important that we do not neglect to remind those that seem to be on top of things of the need to keep doing good. And secondly, spiritual success does not make us immune from the enticements of the world. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." The Bible is full of accounts of men reaching a spiritual mountaintop and then taking a fall. We could look at Moses, who faltered in bringing water out of the rock after leading the Israelites out of Egypt and receiving the law. We could look at David, who became conquering king of Israel and then fell to the point of having one of his own men killed to cover up his actions. We can see Peter walking on water and then denying Christ. The list could keep going. In the church today, we could share stories of numerous people who achieved great things spiritually and then suddenly fall, maybe even to the point of falling away. Let's make sure that we don't use a person's success as a reason to not encourage them, because that would be a very foolish thing for us to do. Finally, we see that Azariah's words affect multitudes. So we look at verse 9 that we read, "And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who were residing with them, for great numbers had deserted to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." The "he" here is Asa. Asa gathering all these from Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon. We learn from this that many people from the northern kingdom had left that kingdom. The reason why they left was because that they saw the Lord was with Asa. Because Asa was acting righteously, more people wanted to follow him. It's unclear if these people left before or after Azariah spoke with Asa, but it's clear that the words that Azariah spoke affected many people for good. You have great numbers of people rallying behind Asa because of his faithfulness to God. Then, beginning in verse 13, we read, 12 and 13, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. but that whoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. These people were committed enough, because of Asa's leadership, to enter into a covenant with the Lord. They recommitted themselves to serving him with all their heart and with all their soul. With a few simple words, Azariah set into motion the spiritual growth of a nation. Not only did the people recommit themselves to God, they were willing to hold each other accountable. Sometimes it's easy to verbally acknowledge our love of God. But when it comes time to submit to accountability, to let our spiritual family hold our feet to the fire and say and do things that make us uncomfortable when we fall short, we often resist. We think we can do good on our own and police ourselves. We may even take offense to the idea that someone may need to provoke us to good works, because provocation is, by its very nature, uncomfortable. Yet here, because of Azariah's message of inspiration and Asa's willing heart, the people were motivated to commit to God and willing to be held accountable. Asa even made a political change. Verse 16 we read, even Maacah, his mother, King Asa removed from being queen mother because she had made a detestable image for Asherah. Asa cut down her image, crushed it, and burned it at the brook Kidron. He demonstrated the courage to remove Maacah, which I believe, if you read all the texts, was his grandmother, from being queen mother. I'm not sure exactly what that title entailed, but it seems to some degree that she had some authority or some power. Yet Asa, inspired by Azariah, went against his own family and stood for what was right. He knew that his grandmother was not a good example for the people of Judah, and he demonstrated that courage to put God first, even ahead of his grandmother. Even though we are called to do this sometimes, putting God ahead of our family can be one of the hardest things that we must face in this life. There are a lot of lessons to be found in these simple words that Azariah spoke. We learn about the importance of speaking God's truth, of being encouraging, even to those around us who are already doing right, and realizing the great influence that this can have. Asa had been doing good for 10 years, and after Azariah speaks to him, he has another 25 years of success. Verse 19 says there was no more war until the 35th year of his reign. Then, as we move into chapter 16, we read about something that takes place after these 35 successful years. Read with me, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 16. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might permit no one to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, there is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending to you silver and gold. Go, break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me. And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber, with which Baasha had been building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. King Asa was now an experienced king. In these verses, we see him make a savvy, strategic move in striking a deal with the Syrians. He could be credited with saving a great number of lives and protecting his kingdom for years to come. If we just looked at the results of this event, we could say that King Asa did well. But now we encounter another prophet that we're going to look at, Hanani. Let's read what he says, beginning in verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Syria and do not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the stocks and in prison, for he was enraged with him because of this. And Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time. As we see, just looking at the results of an action do not reveal whether that action is pleasing to God. While on the surface, Asa looks wise and prudent, Hanani reveals the way God viewed Asa's actions. God viewed this action as failing to trust, replacing God's power and wisdom with man's. Just like Azariah, Hanani, as a messenger of God, speaks truth. Whereas Azariah spoke truth that was encouraging, Hanani's truth is a message of rebuke and correction. Depending on the situation, God's truth may take different forms. There is a time for encouragement, and like we observed earlier, there's a time for admonition and discouragement. Asa had not done well, and he needed to know that. Knowing that Hanani's words were appropriate to the situation, let us take a look at three simple facts about them. First, Hanani's words of rebuke inspired anger. Verse 10 says that Asa was angry with the seer and had him put in prison. It then says that he was in a rage with him. We've all heard the expression, "Don't shoot the messenger." It's so natural for us to take our anger out on the one that is admonishing us, warning us, focusing on them and not on ourselves. But if someone is bringing a message from God, whether direct revelation, as in the case of Hanani, or today speaking truths from God's word to bring about repentance, we must make sure not to shoot the messenger. We need to be thankful. The issue with Asa resided in his heart. We can recall in the book of Acts two different responses in responses to rebuke that demonstrate two different hearts. In Acts 2:37, after Peter preached what we call the first gospel sermon, calling out the Jews for killing Jesus, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" These people had sincere hearts and wanted to know what they could do to atone for their mistakes. This is the attitude each of us should have. Yet they were cut to the heart, yes, but they did not become angry. They became penitent. A few chapters later in Acts 7:54, we read, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth." This account, Stephen has just preached and reminded the Jews about their continued persecutions of God's prophets and the murder of Jesus Christ. They, just like those in Acts 2, were cut to the heart, but instead of being penitent, they became angry. They respond just like Asa. They are enraged. And just like Asa persecuted his messenger, we know they go on to stone Stephen to death. As those that will, from time to time, need to be corrected by our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be reminded of passages like James 1:19-21. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." We need to consider this passage with respect to hearing correction. We need to listen. We need to hold our anger. And we need to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. As those that may have to speak words of correction, we need to realize that the one that we are speaking to may become angry. While that isn't right, that should never prevent us from doing the right thing and trying to lovingly turn them from their error. Next, let's consider that Hanani's words were spoken after a very lengthy period of success in the life of Asa. King Asa's past success did not make him immune to making mistakes. We talked about this a little already, realizing that a spiritually successful person needs encouragement because they can fall just like anyone else. But we also need to remember that a person's accomplishments does not remove the necessity of rebuke and correction. There is not enough good that we can do to get a pass on doing evil. Maybe a track record of good gives us a little more benefit of the doubt, but it does not remove the need for correction. In fact, the more spiritual maturity we demonstrate, the more thankful we should be when someone demonstrates the courage to correct us. We can never feel like we are above criticism. As a spiritually mature person, we should understand verses like 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. The final thing we see about these words of Hanani is that they were received with pride. Asa was very fortunate that he had a prophet who was willing to rebuke him. This is a great blessing. Yet, when we are confronted about a wrongdoing, we must be humble enough to listen. In the account of Asa, he was not. We saw that he responded with anger. This anger was rooted in pride. Not one of us likes being told that we are wrong. To a degree, it's okay to feel frustrated when we are criticized, especially when we're trying our best and someone always focuses on our faults. Some people will find a fault in anything. And sometimes we know that our actions were right, but the other person just had not taken the time to understand why. But usually, the frustration and maybe even anger that is felt when we're told we are wrong is a demonstration of pride. When we fail to truly listen, usually we're focusing too much on ourselves, too concerned about our image or being right, and simply changing. We can get so concerned that someone might think a little less of us and would rather defend ourselves than consider the possibility that what they are saying is true. We can be quick to focus on the hypocrisy of the one correcting us instead of truly listening to the problem at hand. I wonder how many Christians are not going to make it to heaven because of a refusal to say three little words. How many will be lost due to a heart that is too prideful to say, "I was wrong"? Till each of us truly realizes that those words are ones that we're going to have to say many times throughout our life, we'll not move as close to God as we should. Those are words that not only do we need to admit to God privately, but to our brothers and sisters as well. Asa's pride is first demonstrated when he is corrected by Hanani. After this, we see a steep spiral of wickedness in his life. He puts God's prophet in prison. In studying this, I learned that this is the first account of a prophet of God being persecuted in the Bible. And it was done by someone who up to this point had been a very, very good king. Sin and a failure to correct it can make us unrecognizable. We no longer look like the good person that we think we are. One of the most wicked kings that we read about was King Ahab, who, of course, was married to the wicked Jezebel. Compare Asa's treatment of Hanani with what we read about Ahab in 2 Chronicles 18. Here, the king of Israel is Ahab. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." It's not a good thing for Asa to be able to be compared with Ahab, but that is where uncorrected sin leads. We're told in verse 10 that he inflicted cruelties on his people as well. Then, back in 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 12 and 13, in the 39th year of the reign of Asa, of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. Asa's heart had become hard and his trust in God had waned. There are a lot of great lessons, even in this verse, about the importance of seeking God first when life throws us problems. What we learn from Asa here is that each time we fail to listen to God, it becomes easier and easier to ignore him in the future. When we deny our sins, we start down a road that can take us deeper and deeper into wrongdoing. Sadly, we see this in the last 6 years of Asa's life. As we wrap up our study this afternoon, we've looked at two messages from God. Two men simply spoke to their king words of truth. The first, Azariah, spoke words of encouragement. Even though Asa had demonstrated that he was a good king, he still needed Azariah's words to inspire him to do more. The results were many more years of dedicated service and courageous displays of faithfulness as king of Judah. Then we saw Asa make a mistake that each of us would be likely to rationalize as acceptable to God, yet we see that it was not. God demands our trust. In our study, we saw that God gives Asa an opportunity to repent by bringing a message of correction from Hanani. Unfortunately, Asa receives this message with anger and pride instead of penitence and humility. Hopefully, by considering these two messages and their responses, we've been able to learn some things that we can apply to our lives, both as people that are called to be messengers of God and also people who need to hear his messages. In this lesson, we saw the life of Asa, this man who for most of his life had a relationship with God and served him faithfully. If you're here today and you've not started your journey as a Christian, we can baptize you in a few moments into Christ, help you start that journey. But in our Christian walks, there's something more important than how we start our journey. The most important thing is how we finish. We must finish strong. Asa serves as a reminder of just how easy it can be to get derailed from a life full of service to our Creator. Let us not be like Asa. Let us not let the trials of this life cause us to lose grasp of our salvation. Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia, "I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown." Asa didn't finish strong, but we will. We won't let trials, whether heartbreak and loneliness and frustrations experienced this last year, or even successes and distractions, seize the crown of life from our grasp. Like we read before the lesson from Hebrews 10, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." If you're struggling this afternoon and you need to recommit yourself to that life of faith and service, please do that from your pew while we sing our song of invitation. And if you need our prayers to help you with that, or if there's someone that needs to obey the gospel here this afternoon, whatever spiritual need that you may have, please, that we can help you with, please come together as we stand and sing together.